Our scripture reading this morning will be from Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14, and you can find that on page 17 in your Pew Bible. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac. The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. We are finishing the 10th chapter. We've been working our way through that the last couple of weeks, and we have heard all kinds of unsettling things of division and swords and families not liking each other. And when you go out, Jesus is getting ready to send his disciples out and telling them that if people don't welcome you, then to shake the dust from your feet and continue on. So this morning we have verses 40 through 42, and they actually preset what we will hear in Matthew 25 about welcome. Jesus continues to his disciples after telling them how hard it's going to be for them to go out and do their work. Those who welcome you also welcome me. And those who welcome me welcome the one who sent me. Those who welcome prophets just because they are prophets will receive the reward reserved for the prophets themselves. And those who welcome holy people just because they are holy will receive the reward of the holy ones. The truth is, whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these lonely ones for just being a disciple will not lack a reward. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So as I said, we've been working our way through Matthew's chapter 10, and it has not been the gentle chapter. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for the reality of following him, that it will not always be easy. He has spoken of conflict, of division, of misunderstanding. He has spoken of risk of being a disciple. He tells them plainly that discipleship is not a path of comfort, but a path that will take a lot of courage. And here this morning, the very end of these long sayings, bracing the speech, Jesus softens his tone and he says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. After all the warnings, after all the conflict, after all the things that have been going on, Jesus ends to send them out with a welcome. Jesus has been saying, yes, it is complicated. Yes, discipleship is costly, but you will also meet welcome. And when you do, when people welcome you, something holy is happening. Something larger than you, larger than the people that you will encounter, larger than the moment in which you stand. Something holy happens. Welcome, in Jesus' telling, is not just kindness. Welcome is participation in the life of following God. Jesus continues after saying, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and if they welcome me, they welcome the one who sent me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of the littlest of these, the lowest of these, will not lack a reward. A cup of cold water. I have one here that I'll drink all morning long, and I am grateful for that glass of cold water. It's not a feast. We don't offer a program. It's not a grand gesture to give somebody a cold water. A cup of cold water. And yet, how many of us have totally appreciated a glass of water at any given time? It sounds simple. It truly is. Go to the tap, get a glass of water. It's a simple act. However, if we were to put it in the historical context in which we read it this morning, in the ancient world, cold water required effort. You didn't get to go to the icebox or the freezer and pull out some ice cubes while the cold water tap is running and then go get the water. Somebody had to go to the well, which was not in their backyard, but in the center of town, draw the water up, and if you want it cold, it has to be kept cool somewhere. They don't have refrigeration. It has to be drawn and carried and stored and then re-pulled from the jugs into whatever chalice, drinking vessel that they have. It's a small act, some would say, but it is not a careless act. It takes thought. That is the historical view. This morning, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God is built not only on the sweeping movements, but on the small, intentional acts of care. A cup of cool water. Could be related to a porch light left on for the traveling relatives or friends that you'll leave the porch light on for them. It's a casserole delivered. It's the ride to an appointment or a handwritten note of thanks that just simply says, I'm so glad I got to see you the other day. Thanks for the smiles. It's a prayer whispered when no one else is listening. In a world that is obsessed with big solutions, Jesus honors the small acts, the acts of kindness. Earlier this week, I read a meditation written by Cameron Timbrell, and she puts out a weekly posting, a weekly meditation in her co-piloting faith website. And in her reflection, she talks about Indra's net. And Indra's net is actually a Buddhist story, but I believe that it can be connected to this morning's readings. In the Buddhist story, there's this god, one of their gods is Indra, who stretches a vast net across the universe. And at every knot of this net, in my brain I see a large spider web with dew on it, but the story says a large net, and in every intersection and every knot sits a jewel. And in every jewel is a reflection of every other jewel. And within each reflection, you see the reflection of all the other jewels that are there. So think of a spider's web with dew on it, that how the light refracts over and over again, and then make it as huge as our universe. And that at every place of intersectionality, there is a jewel. And that reflects the one beside it, but when you look into it, it reflects everything else around it. Infinity and infinitely. Now, when we overlap these two stories, everything is connected. Every action touches every other action. Every kindness that we do reflects in all of the other kindnesses that have happened. Every gesture of welcome shines in a thousand different directions when we offer those welcomes. Indra's net is a way of saying nothing stands alone. Every life is bound to every other life. Every small act participates in the whole. And when Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me," he's describing something very much like Indra's net. He's saying that welcome is not a transaction between two people. It is the participation in the divine web of relationships. When you welcome another, you're touching the whole. When you offer a cup of cool water, the universe will shimmer with that. And when you receive kindness, you are receiving God. This is more than a metaphor. This is the structure of creation. We know about welcome around here. We wave at people from our front porches, people as they drive by in our neighborhoods. We often check on our neighbors. We bring food when someone is sick. Right? We know how to offer welcome, but we should not be disillusioned. We also know the other side of welcome, the suspicion that creeps in, the fear of the unfamiliar, the temptation to close our doors and not see who our neighbors truly are. It hurts to say that our political climate has trained us to sort people before we meet people, to decide who is with us and who is against us, who is like us and who is different from us, to assume the worst before we've ever said a word of welcome to anyone. Jesus refuses to let welcome be determined by category, and he refuses to allow us to determine welcome by category. Jesus does not say, "Whoever welcomes the one who thinks like you or votes like you." He doesn't say, "Whoever welcomes the one who looks just like you." Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." Now we need to remember, the disciples he's sending out into the world are not powerful people. They are not prestigious people. They are not the kind of people that the world truly honors. They're not. They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They are ordinary people. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. They are. And I love it. I love it. Because, you know, it's about welcome. And this is welcome, that we let the children free range and explore and know that they are loved within the community and by the community. Even when they giggle and walk around, and I bet before the day is over, she will offer a fuss. But that is welcome, right? I could stop right now. The disciples that are sent out, they are the people that are sitting beside you. We are ordinary people. We are vulnerable people. We are distracted people. And as we heard earlier in the readings a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus says that he's sending us out like sheep among wolves. So when someone welcomes them, when someone welcomes us, they are welcoming vulnerability. They are welcoming risk. They are welcoming the possibility that God might show up in the least expected person. Might be a 15-month-old. Indra's net teaches us that when we welcome one person, we are touching the whole web. Jesus teaches us that when we welcome one person, we are welcoming God. Jesus' words, though, work in two directions. The first one is, we are sent. We are the ones that are sent. We carry Jesus into the world, not because we are perfect, but because we are willing. When we show up with compassion, when we speak truth with humility, when we offer presence without agenda, when we carry Jesus' welcome into places that desperately need it, we are the ones that are being sent. But also, we are the ones to receive. We must see Jesus in the one who comes to us, especially the ones who comes with needs that we'd rather not face. Sometimes we are the givers. Sometimes we are the ones who need that cold cup of water. Indra's net reminds us that giving and receiving are not opposites. They are reflections of each other. They are the jewels shining back and forth across the web. The gospel honors both giving and receiving. So what does that cold cup of water look like today? It might look like listening, really listening to someone whose politics make your blood pressure rise, not to agree, but to understand. It might look like choosing curiosity over caricature. It might look like supporting a family in crisis without needing to know every last detail of how they got to be where they are. It might look like welcoming the newcomer in town, even when you're not sure how they're going to fit in. It might look like showing up at a community meeting, not to win, but to build up each other. It might look like offering forgiveness when it would be easier to hold the grudge. It might look like refusing to let the loudest voices of division drown out the quiet work of compassion. I can tell you that that cold cup of water was very visible yesterday here during the Attic Treasure Sale. So whether you were here for the whole week, for all the setup and tear down, or if you were only here for an hour that day, I encourage those of you that were here to stop and reflect. Reflect on what happened during the day, on where you gave a glass of water, a cup of water, and where you may have received that cup of water. And then share those stories later on, because we need to hear those stories. So reflect on that time, where you offered and where you received. In Indra's net, every small act of kindness brightens the whole web. In Jesus' teaching, every small act of welcome reveals the presence of God. Jesus says that those who offer welcome will not lose their reward. That's the cool part. He never defines the reward. He said the prophet's reward and the holy one's reward, but those that act as disciples will not be denied their reward. But he never labels what that is. Maybe the reward is not something that we receive later. Maybe the reward is what happens in the moment of the welcome itself. Maybe the reward is the softening of the heart. Maybe the reward is the healing of a relationship. Maybe the reward is widening the community. Maybe the reward is the recognition that God is present in the exchange and within each other. Maybe the reward is that welcome changes us. Indra's net teaches that when one jewel shines, all shine. Jesus teaches that when one person is welcomed, God is welcomed in that space. The reward is the shimmering of the whole web, and that each and every one of us is connected to each and every one of us. Beloved brothers and sisters of Jesus, this is what church is called to be. It is called to be a community of cold, cool water people. People who offer small kindnesses with great intention. People who see Jesus in the stranger and in their neighbor. People who refuse to let fear have the final word. People who understand that welcome is not weakness, but strength. People who know that the kingdom of God is built one cup, one gesture, one moment at a time. In a world that is thirsty, we are thirsty for compassion, thirsty for justice, thirsty for connection, for hope. We are called to be the ones that carry the water. Not because we have all the answers. Lord knows I don't have all the answers. I can't expect anyone to have all the answers. And not because we are perfect disciples, but because Jesus welcomes us. Because we are the jewels in the great net of God's creation, reflecting and receiving, receiving and reflecting, always shining and shimmering together. So this week, as you go about your ordinary days, your errands, your conversations, your chores, your quiet moments along a lake or on a back porch, pay attention to the cold cups of water that you can offer. Pay attention to the ones that are offered to you. Pay attention to the places where welcome feels risky and go there gently. Pay attention to the people who cross your path and remember that Jesus comes to us disguised as the person right in front of you. So whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus. Whoever you welcome Jesus. And in that welcome, in the whole shimmering web of creation, it brightens one small holy gesture at a time. Amen.